Mothers ago, there was a tiger spirit who wanted to live inside a woman. One night, when the moon was as brown as a nipple, the tiger spirit braided itself into a rope of light and lowered itself into a woman's mouth, rappelling down her throat and taking the name of Hugupo. But the price of having a body is hunger. Hugupo could remain a tenant in the woman's body as long as she hunted. When she smelled the sweat-seasoned toes of children, her belly hardened into a beetle of need and scuttled out of her throat. A scout in search of salt. Craving their toes, she climbed into the children's bedrooms at night. With her teeth, she unscrewed the toes of sleeping daughters and sucked the knuckles clean of meat, renaming them peanuts. Every morning, Hugupo walked through the market and appraised the fish dragged in from the river, their bodies like oiled opals. A fisherman's wife, smelling something that scarred the air with its smoke, turned to Hugupo and asked what she was eating. "Peanuts," Hugupo said, shucking nut bones with her teeth. The fisherman's wife asked if Hugupo might be willing to share. Hugupo laughed. "How much would you pay for one?" The fisherman's wife named a price. Slipping the skin off another nut, Hugupo said, "That's not enough for me to make a living." She laughed, her black braid unraveling to ash, charring the air. The next morning, every child in the village woke with a toe subtracted from each foot. On each of their pillows was a 5-cent coin, rusted dark as a blood spot. The fisherman's wife had no children, but when she heard what had happened, she remembered the woman in the market cleaving peanut shells with her teeth. When she opened her door, there was a skin pouch lying in her doorway. She slit open the pouch, and it spilled dozens of toes, deboned and dusted with salt. My mother lifted the bedsheet over us both when she told me this story, crouching down over my feet, grasping them in her fists and ferrying them to her mouth. My toes squirmed like minnows in her maw, swimming against the current of her spit. In the dark, I watched the geography of her face rearranging. The mountain range of moles on her forehead, the hook of her lip lowering when she fished up a story. She let go of my feet when I begged her not to eat them. But one night, she concluded the story by biting down on my big toe. Her teeth encircled it like a tiara, resting on the skin rather than breaking it. But I could feel her trembling. Her jaw reined back by something I couldn't see. In the morning, my toe wore a ringlet of white where the blood didn't return again for months. Some nights, I woke to my mother's finger foraging around in my ear, nicking out the earwax with her hooked pinky nail. She liked to joke she was digging for gold. She lifted the canoe of her pinky nail, loaded with my grit, and brought it to her mouth. I yanked at her wrist and said, "No, no, 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 no." But she ate it anyway, laughing when I said it was gross. "I used to eat my earwax when I was hungry," she said. "My ears were always so clean. That's why I can hear everything." My mother said, "If I let the earwax live inside me, it would eventually grow beetle legs and scuttle into my brain, nesting there like shrapnel." She said she was saving me by eating my ear canals clean, allowing the sun to tunnel into my skull and keep all my memories lit. In the bedroom I shared with my brother, our mother told us stories about Arkansas, the rain. Her sister, my aunt. Her ma, my ama. Her ba, my agong. How my grandfather buried 2 gold bars that an earthquake gave back. And how they spent the gold to get to L.A. I was born from breakage. My mother left Ama and Agong in L.A. and moved 6 hours north, planting my brother and me in soil, unsalted by memories. She summarized her life in slashes, everything a choice. Leave, stay. Mother, daughter. Love, live.